And good evening to everybody in YouTube land. This is Off the Hook Overtime. Emmanuel here, Kyle there.
There.
And we have Rob Gila and Alex.
Hello.
Yes, you do.
Yo.
In Signal land. And hopefully we have made it to YouTube.
We have. We've made it there and we sound good.
Okay. Couldn't be more perfect. Welcome, everybody. So here's where we continue our conversation a little bit and maybe take some phone calls a little bit later. Yeah. Any continuing thoughts? I got kind of confused with the whole House of Lords thing because the House of Commons was saying something and the government was saying something else. And, you know, actually, the government would be the House of Commons, wouldn't it? Who else would it be? Maybe the Prime Minister? I mean, does the King get involved? I don't even know. Alex, explain it to us. Explain British society and politics.
yeah, sure. Okay. That might take a little while, I think. So there are a couple of different ways that you can become a member of the House of Lords, but the vast majority of members are apparently are life peers that are appointed by the monarch.
So the rest of their lives, they have a say. I mean, if you're appointed at 18, that means your entire life you get a huge say in what kinds of laws get passed.
Yeah. It can be a lifetime appointment and by the monarch, but they're recommended to be appointed by the prime minister. So who's really doing the appointing here? You know, how can you tell the dancer from the dance?
Wait, it's the prime minister or the king. Those are the only two that can appoint anybody to the House of Lords?
Well, they're all appointed by the monarch, but they come recommended by the prime minister.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, but then there's also hereditary peers as well. So
God, really?
Hereditary peers, you know, those are hereditary, right? So
so you get to be a lord because your dad was a lord or your mom was a lord or something like that?
Yeah, but there's only a few of those left. I think like 92 or so.
Why is that? They phased that out?
Yeah, they did back in 1999. There were some reforms about the hereditary nature of
so this. That was considered to be unfair. But okay, all right, it's a step, I guess.
Yeah, yep. And then there is apparently a very small number of bishops and clergy that sit as lords spiritual, including, of course, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Can you say that again? Lords what now?
Spiritual.
Lords spiritual.
Lords spiritual. That's right. Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Is you
that's what
refer
they're called.
To them?
Yep.
Lord spiritual Brian. I think you left your headlights on in the parking lot. That's what you'd have to say.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. I would guess so. And then there's just, you know, some basic eligibility requirements. Like you have to be a certain age. You have to, you know, be British, presumably, right?
What age do you have to be?
I don't know, actually, off the top of my head.
I'd imagine 12 is probably the minimum.
It might be, right?
No, yeah. Can you imagine that in a House of Lord children? I mean, that would be something.
Yeah, it would be great, actually, wouldn't it?
It makes as much sense as this does.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to have any background in law or politics or anything like that. You just have to have a connection.
Just have to have a connection. That's right. And you become part of the House of Lords and, you know, start revising laws of the House of Commons. Yeah, right. Start revising bills.
But you can't stop. This is weird. You can't stop a bill from becoming a law. But you can make a law, but the House of Commons has to approve it, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah. But if you think about it, right, I mean, our model of government is somewhat based off this as well, right, where you have, for us, the House of Representatives is similar or analogous to the House of Commons in the UK, in Parliament. And the House of Commons is obviously the elected bodies, and they're more responsive to the population. That was the whole idea with the House of Representatives being a body that was responsive to the will of the electorate or the will of the polity, so to speak, right? And that's why their elections happen more frequently. And then during the formation of this country, there was a big debate on well, what should the other side of Congress be like? And the Senate was sort of modeled after the House of Lords, but obviously without the hereditary and lifelong type of appointments here.
But it's just as nonsensical because they're elected based on land, not on people. So that's why you have two senators for every state, no matter how few people live in that state. So North Dakota has the same amount of representation as California.
That's right. And the terms are longer as well. And the terms are longer because the senators were supposed to have the ability to take a longer view on certain issues such that they don't have to be immediately responsive to the electorate all the time, like the House of Representatives does. The House of Representatives is continually fundraising because they're always up for re-election. But the Senate, which sits in their seats for much longer, kind of like the House of Lords, is able to take this longer view on things and really consider the wide-ranging implications of a particular bill or law and be less responsive to politics. Whether that is what actually happens these days, I highly doubt.
Question from Gila. Go ahead.
Actually, not a question from Gila, but a chime in from someone who lives in England in the chat. Welcome, by the way, to the 40 people who are with us right now.
Fallen into our trap. We were trying to lure people from England into the show, and we did it.
Someone says, Fun Sox says, I think Alex is incorrect. The House of Lords can veto a law, and it goes back to the House of Commons.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I'm not entirely up with it, but I appreciate that.
Also, our friend Johnny Fusion announces that he would now like to be known as Hacker Spiritual Johnny Fusion.
Wow.
And yes, we just dropped a couple more viewers.
I'm sure we did. I'm sure we're on the way to dropping all of them. But, you know, I heard Canada has a similar system with the Senate. In fact, they were, I believe, and I could be totally wrong on this, the Senate is not elected, and there was a move to abolish the Senate. And I'd like to start a move like that here, actually, because, or at least, you know, revise it a bit so it's more representative of something other than land. You know, that would be a bit more modern. But yeah, I'm curious what the Canadian system is like as well. I heard they were trying to, and they might have already abolished the Senate. I don't know, but I don't know the first thing about it, to be honest.
Also, actually, if there's a moment. So apparently there was an emergency alert tone during our show.
Oh, really?
This is what I hear. There was no information provided, just the tone went off. So thank you to everybody who was in the chat before they were supposed to be, who let us know about that. We're all fine. And yeah, that's all we got.
Wow. Okay, so I guess there'll be two versions of the show, one with the tone and one without, in the archives.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
This may be some important preparation. There's all kinds of weather and other reasons.
Yeah, but the weather is for the weekend. You don't think emergency alert system is going to go off because there might be a snowstorm on Saturday night. I guess it's possible. Was there any kind of, I don't know, Gila, you don't know the answer, but maybe you could ask, was there any kind of announcement, or did they just play a tone and not say what it was?
What we're hearing is that the tone happened and there was no follow-up information.
Well,
so apparently,
not helpful.
Basically, they heard us talking, they heard the emergency alert tone, they heard us talking. I was trying to do a little bit of research because old habits die hard. I can't find anything. So I don't know, did someone at the station lean on a button they
That's
shouldn't
not
have?
How it works. It's not supposed to work
no,
that way.
It's an automated interruption. So it did not originate from our end, and we did not have anything like that happen here. So we can definitely go back and collect what versions of the recording we have and definitely share what we
have. I know the old EBS system, emergency broadcast system, that was generated at the station. You'd push a button and you'd play an announcement and the tone would go off right when the announcement ended if you did it right. I don't know if the EAS works the same way. If that's true, then I guess it's possible somebody triggered it at the station mistakenly, but it doesn't seem like that kind of thing. We'll find out. We'll find out what happened if anybody else knows.
It's more likely, a call to stock up on popcorn.
Oh, you're funny. You're very funny. Go ahead, Gila.
People are telling us that at least over, I'm assuming most of the folks, based on what I know of where you folks are, we're listening to the website and not over the air. Mm-hmm. So can't speak to anybody who was listening over the air for now, but that just the tone went off. And no, this was a test or anything. And then just to clarify and answer a listener question, yes, Rebel is still banned this week.
Oh, yes. On that, assuming Rebel is listening, Rebel, please do not call this week or the permaban might come into effect. And that would be unfortunate for everybody. And also, everybody is advised not to call next week when we take calls on WBAI, because that's for the over-the-air listeners. And they don't get to speak nearly as much because many of them don't listen to this show. And everything goes back to normal in 2 weeks. Unless somebody doesn't play by the rules.
Yes. Also, part of one of the listeners who asked about whether Rebel was banned said that they were listening to the 2000 MP3 when he was banned for 3 to 6 months.
Oh my
now,
God.
I lived on the other coast at that time. I didn't know. I'm sorry. What is that story?
I have no memory of this. Wow. So we've done this before? 3 to 6 months. What did he do? Wow. That's something. That is
so many questions. At Amparo Rod, I'm sorry, Amparo, whatever, dude who's talking about the listening to that 2003, could you give us a date so that we can
know
see?
This? I mean, how did you find this? Our listeners are so well researched. They look at, if we say something and we contradict ourselves 10 years later, they're on us. They know. They know that on this date, you said that no, that kids under 4 should not be on the internet, and now you're advocating for it. It's like, yeah, okay, you know what? I'm human. I'm gonna contradict myself occasionally, or maybe I won't. I don't know.
That like comment neatly encapsulates that, as well as like this overarching need to correct things in general. But wow, that's astonishing.
Someone on the internet was wrong and I have to talk about it.
It does make you feel for like a person up on stage at a sci-fi convention where they were in Star Trek like back in the 90s, and someone gets up in the audience and goes, now in scene 17 of episode 2 of season 4 you did this thing.
And well, it also makes us realize that that's nothing for Rebel. Like he's not even doing like, that's not like hard time.
Okay.
That is a nothing
point
ban.
Of the Rebel
like,
ban.
What is it, 1 or 2 weeks you said?
If we're talking about Rebel while he's banned, we're defeating ourselves. Do you see? I'm waiting for that
call. Did you give the number?
No, I haven't given the number and it's not even working yet. So nobody should be calling anything. Just stay away from the phone. But that's the word, not this week. And next week is by definition, an off week. And in 2 weeks, everything goes back to normal. But, okay. So, we were talking about, British politics and Canadian politics and, maybe American politics, mostly the systems and how kind of crazy they all are. I don't know. I'd like to just sort of like the way Microsoft does updates, maybe not force a reboot, but, you know, seriously consider some updates, like we talked about last week. It's like an OS that really is woefully out of date, like Windows 95, which, you know, Alex was very positive about tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, you know, speaking of updating things, I forgot that originally, you know, senators were not elected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were appointed by the state legislature, I believe.
So it sounds exactly the same. Well, not exactly the same, but very similar to the British system.
Yeah, very similar. And they've only been elected in this country since 1913. And it was the 17th Amendment that changed the way in which senators were appointed. Mm-hmm. So now they're elected by the population. But
no,
still
no, hold on. They're not elected by the population. They're elected by land masses. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let this go because, you know, they don't represent the people on an equal level. You know, when you have North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, two sparsely populated states, and now the two of them together have double what New York has as far as representation. That's not representation.
Well, it's not proportional representation. It's representation of a different sort. It's equal representation by the virtue of being a state. I mean, this is not equal.
As far as representation, how is that equal?
This was the great compromise here between you know, the houses here, that there would be two senators, and you didn't want to have the more populated states having the entire say over how the country is governed.
Why not? That's a popular vote. That's how it should work. It should. I mean, sometimes they'll make mistakes for sure. But okay, if that was true, why don't we do that on a state level? Why don't sparsely populated counties have the same representation as Manhattan?
I mean, that's a state by state choice. I guess, you know, maybe some states do.
No state has chosen that because it's stupid.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Gila looks like she wanted to chime in on this debate, didn't she?
Not on this debate. I'm sorry. I have more clarification on Rebel's previous ban.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So here's what I'm just going to read what we got.
We just can't During help ourselves. We just can't.
No, we really can't.
Okay, go ahead.
During the rain, Emmanuel was driving in the rain. He said it was unsafe, and Rebel was trying to call him. Like, he was trying to call you on your personal phone?
Oh, really? Wow.
You probably had it forwarded or something.
I might have. Wow.
Wowzers.
Well, you know, I wouldn't do that today, because that's banning for a personal reason, and that's you know, people should be banned for reasons that affect the show. Well, I guess me veering off the road might affect the show. I don't know. Just, I have to re-listen to this. That sounds interesting. How did it end?
I don't know. I'm actually looking for, trying to find out when in the year it was so I can go back into the archive myself and see what I can dig up.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's all listen to the show from years ago. any other? Alex, you're in the middle of a sentence, I believe.
I'm so sorry, Alex.
Was I? I wasn't in the middle.
Well, I thought you were telling us something about. Oh no, we were debating the.
This was the great compromise. This whole idea of two senators,
Let me put it to you in different terms. The Senate selects the Supreme Court. So this compromise that you say it is, that's why we're where we are now with the Supreme Court. Does it seem fair now?
Yeah. I mean, so if you go back to the 18th century here, though, I mean, this was like the bigger states that had lower population density were threatening to leave the United States of America if they didn't have some kind of equal measure of representation. So
we should have taken them up on that offer then. We really should have.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, what would this country be like if we did? It would be really quite interesting.
I picture it all the time. I picture it like, remember when the Bell system broke up? I picture it as the same exact pieces. Like, we would be 9X. All right. Maybe the country isn't called 9X, but it's comprised of New England and New York and X, whatever that is. So not Twitter. And then you have the Bell Atlantic area, and then you got Bell South, you know, and they can do their thing or whatever. You see, it all kind of makes sense then. But if you try to merge us all together into one, well, you know, look around you. That's what you get.
Yeah, that's Ma Bell. You would rather have the regional Bell operating companies each as kind of sovereign states?
Yeah, the United States of Arbucks. Why not?
Yes, exactly. That'd be really cool, actually, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It's not too late. We can still do this.
We can still do it. But look, I mean, look, there's merit to both of these systems, right? When you have representation by population or equal state representation. And what we have is a bicameral legislature that embodies both. And doesn't work at all.
Well, you know, I guess it's a question of how much power you give to each. And if you give something as serious as electing lifetime members of a court that's going to decide every single issue that defines our democracy, maybe you don't give that to the body that doesn't fairly represent individuals in this country.
Maybe. I mean, it's also a matter of logistics, right? I mean, we know that there's only 100 senators, so to get a Supreme Court justice appointed, they have to go through, you know, this smaller chamber of Congress as opposed to, you know, the entire House. So I don't know. Maybe there's an administrative reason why that's better. But also, I think that the notion that senators are able to take a longer view on things is more consistent with the appointment of Supreme Court justices.
Well, when they start doing that, I'd be very curious just to witness it. I don't want to be mean, but you know, I could just name some names of current sitting U.S. senators, and I think you'd see my point. You know, as far as this is not necessarily the high exalted body that we wish it were. There's a lot of ignorant people in these positions, and they have way too much influence.
I wonder if the backlash from some of the judicial changes will double some of the other reasons people are unhappy with Congress in senators and some of those positions, and if there will be a real change in people will vote that way. It's kind of interesting because that court has stood for a while, a lot of, and has a lot of rulings, and the sort of faith in the judiciary has been something that I think is being called into question.
Well, it's been abused. That's why all these systems are being abused, and it's just like an operating system, because if it's open to abuse, you either stop using it or you fix it, and we're not doing either.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, the check, conceivably, I guess, the way this system is supposed to work is that you go back to Congress, really, and there's pressure there because that's the only other body, especially if the executive is, you're out of a cycle for that. So it's really more pressure on the way they vote.
There's one more body, and that's the body that encompasses all of our bodies.
Well, that too.
We have the final say.
That's notwithstanding.
I'm not talking about elections. I'm talking about, you know, getting outside and getting some fresh air.
The streets. I am with that as well. I think there's a lot to be said for that at this moment.
That doesn't mean violence. It doesn't mean violence. Sometimes
voices.
Sometimes it's inevitable if you have a particularly horrible regime. I hope we're not there yet, but you gotta voice your opinions, assuming your opinions are strong enough that you want to voice them. And I can't imagine what else would have to happen for people to actually, you know, find their voices. But, you know, we'll see. I'm going to open up the phone lines. 802. I forgot the phone number.
You can call your senator. You can call.
I forgot the phone number.
You could call us. You could call.
Oh, my God. No,
call things out in the streets.
321-4225. I'm sorry. I had a
slowly this time.
Yeah. 802-321-HACK. That's our telephone number. And phone lines are open. Operators are standing by. That all that stuff. So Rebel call in 2 weeks. Don't call now. And everything will be fine. And don't have people call for you. That we'll see right through that. 802-321-4225. I think it's working. Sometimes Google Voice doesn't work when you turn it on. So,
I blame the libraries.
I was really sad by that story. Just like,
it's working.
Yeah, it's tragic, actually.
The physical books, like, that's part of citations. And even if these models, even if the models are going to use the knowledge with impunity, like, you should have the physical repository of it, at least the shared one. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has to have every book, but it'd be nice to have a place to go and say, okay, I actually want to read what this conclusion or result from some inquiry, what it's based on.
We have a phone call, and let's go to that phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Well, Rebel, that's it. You're banned forever.
I've seen it, yeah.
What's this? Unless you're the fake one.
This is the deep fake, Rebel.
Is it? I don't want someone getting Rebel. How do you know that?
Because of the lag.
Okay. I noticed that I demonstrated this last time about the fact that sometimes I remember I've been listening to the old Off the Hooks lately. You know,
Rebel,
in the 90s.
Hang on, Rebel, can I just ask you one question? Rebel, can I ask you one question?
See the lag. They're generating a response.
Right. And I remember, I just like the way you like call different places and entities and operators. And
how do I fight this? Things. How do we ever win?
I was just noticing.
This is some kind of science fiction nightmare right now. So we have a fake rebel that's harassing us almost as much as the real rebel, and there's no way to tell the difference between them.
Okay.
I'm talking about like 800 numbers.
Listen to this. He's just continuing. We can't stop him. Oh my God.
But here's the thing. We can't stop him when it's really him either.
Well, yeah, so... but at least you know it's a human being now. It's like there's an infinite number of him.
All right, you.
Oh my God!
Put a 3-month moratorium on his calling.
I am living through Black Mirror here. How do I get out?
September 19th, 2000. Emmanuel imposes a 3-month moratorium on calls from Rebel, and then you extended it the following week.
Wow, what happened for me to do that?
I can't listen to the shows right now. I don't know.
No, but I want to listen to them. Wow.
But in the meantime,
thank you for having the really good summaries. By the way,
in the meantime, the chat is.
Yeah,
the chat is kind of up in arms over like don't frame Rebel, don't ban real Rebel because of fake Rebel.
No, I don't want to. As soon as I realized I was, but you know, what if it's real Rebel controlling fake Rebel? Do you ever think of that?
Oh my God!
No, you didn't think of that, did you?
I'm not going to be sleeping.
We'll take a look at that, and
I'm never going to pick up the phone again. I mean, it's just there's just no way. You can't talk to anybody.
I can try to screen a little bit.
Who are you? Are you real? Are you Rebel? Nobody knows.
We are all Rebel on this blessed day.
However, if I could point this out, years ago, friends of mine tried to call me using a Miss Cleo soundboard. And they actually wound up laughing too hard to hit the buttons. So all I heard was "call me now" and then like hysterical laughter. So kudos to whoever set up the Rebel soundboard, because at least you're not giggling.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they can have a mute button and they could be like, you know, screaming with laughter when they press it.
So, and maybe that's where the lag is.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Okay, everybody, we've all had our fun. Can we move on to serious phone calls now? Just try something different. 802-321-4225.
Yeah, this is a serious show.
It starts out that way and just somehow veers off again. And let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Please be a serious call.
It's a serious call.
Oh, good.
I was listening over the air, and I heard the alert sound blotting out.
You are the missing link here, because we weren't sure anybody was actually listening to the radio over the radio, and you confirm now that there was an EAS tone in the middle of the show.
Correct.
Wow. Okay, and there was no explanation.
There was no explanation, and I never quite figured out what she was asking.
Well, it's impossible for us to know when exactly in the show that happened, but there will be an archive posted that will have the complete uninterrupted show, but we'll also have the snippet that has the interruption, just so people can hear what that sounded like, too, because I know people want to.
Okay. I thought I would share a nightmare I had.
Yeah, please do.
Yes. I was on the subway, and there were almost no regular civilians on the subway because the subways were full of Trump's troops being shuttled all around, and the real people who live here thought it was safer not to be on the subway.
Hang on. You're saying that ICE agents take the subway to get around?
I'm saying that Trump had called in troops to supplement the ICE agents, and they were in camo and stuff like that. In troops being shuttled around, and there were announcements over about where they should go. And so, you know, regular people.
Wait a minute.
Civilians.
Is this a nightmare, or is this really happened?
This was a nightmare. Oh. I haven't been in the subway for quite some time. I'm disabled, so I haven't actually physically been in the subways for quite some time.
There are many accessible stations, though, just so you know.
But this was my nightmare.
Wow.
That the people who live here, civilians, didn't think it was safe to take the subway anymore because it was just overwhelmingly filled with troops being shuttled here and there.
That's a good nightmare. It's believable. You had me believing it for a second, but we're not quite there yet, I hope, and we hope we never get there.
You are off mic.
No, I'm not. I'm speaking right into a microphone.
Well, I'm barely hearing you.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Maybe somebody else can talk if I can't be heard.
Now I can hear you.
I didn't move. I'm in the same place. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
Wow. I just talked a little bit more animatedly, so I'll be a little...
There's a huge difference.
Okay. Well, it was a good nightmare. It was a good nightmare, and, let's try to keep it from happening.
Yes.
Anything else?
Nightmare.
You say there's an app that I could find out on my computer if Trump sends in the troops?
Well, as far as ice tracking in Manhattan, you guys who are in New York City, do you use anything or do you know of anything?
Not offhand. There are some chats and stuff, but Those aren't easily findable.
If anybody out there has an app or is using an app that works in New York City, please email us, oth@2600.com. We'd love to spread the word about that. I know we've talked about various apps in the past.
I need something that works on a Mac because I don't have a cell phone.
Well, the Joshua Aaron's app. Does anybody remember what it was called?
We had
it
on the
IceBlock.
IceBlock, yeah, that was for Macs. Except the Apple Store basically stopped providing it, and I don't think you can install it if they don't provide it because that's how Macs operate. They're very closed. If you already had it, though, it still works.
No, I don't have it.
Yeah, so I don't have a solution. But you know what? We can reach out to him and see if he has a solution. Again, any listeners out there who know of an app that will work on a Mac in New York City, oth@2600.com, please email us.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Joshua Aaron's app site was iceblock.app, and he's posted on there that, it doesn't work. I mean, you can't get the app from the Apple Store because they've taken it down, but if you have it already installed, it still works. But there is no way to get the app installed, and there are lots of malicious entities putting up fake versions of it for people looking for one that they can still install. So, be very wary. Don't install a fake IceBlock, but see if you find any other. We would love to hear about other legit apps and sites and stuff for the purpose.
Yeah, this is a problem that we're going to run into with apps and basically getting information out to people. There will be those people out there who are trying to sabotage those efforts, whether it be by putting up fake apps or by putting out fake information, and we have to learn how to see past that, figure out a way to get the information out there, make sure it's accurate information. And that's the challenge that we all face, and working together, we can definitely do that. There are more of us than there are people trying to thwart the efforts. So that's why it's important to keep trying. I assume, Kyle, that call was not a legit call. That's why we didn't pick it up. Okay.
And there's lots of ways to make the public transportation system safer. And there's all kinds of changes and things to observe. And hopefully that nightmare doesn't come true.
I can't imagine them riding the subway. They'd have to pay. No, you know what? They don't. They break all the laws. So they'll just jump the turnstile. Although
that's getting harder.
Yeah, it's getting harder. It's getting harder.
They're changing some of the doors, I heard. I saw a news story about that. I'm sure we'll be covering some of that in the future. But, yeah, we shouldn't have those kinds of nightmares, but it's good to sit with it and evaluate it and think about the ways that we would not accept that in our community, and actually have like a hopeful ideal of using public transit, that it is a system that has its perils, but is, you know, not something that can't improve and that can't be a better experience.
802-321-4225 is our phone number. Yes, Gila.
Yes. Lou Reishu has stepped forward and taken credit for Fake Rebel.
Okay, so last week when we said it was him, he said it wasn't him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this week it is him, even though it sounds exactly the same. I guess they all would sound exactly the same, but I don't know. Do you buy it?
See, well, Lou Reishu is provably already, we know, a wizard. So I believe Lou Reishu claiming responsibility is legitimate.
The problem is that you know, we don't know who we're going to get, and we have to kind of keep moving. We want to open up the lines, talk about different things, get people's ideas if they have, you know, ways of making transit secure or ways it's not secure, or, you know, something cool with telephones. And we need to be able to verify, you know, different calls. So I don't know. We can accept that and move on, I think. And we'll check again next. We'll reset next week with everybody, except for whatever the current policy dictates. But we really don't want to have that.
What was that? You just deafened
me. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Alex.
Try to control yourself there. Wow, that was loud.
I'm so sorry. Our microphone is really good, apparently. Alex, I cannot believe you.
Yeah, this is a visual thing, and our listeners will not know what we're on about unless we explain this.
Alex stepped away from camera for a second and came back wearing a sweater printed with the word Rebel.
Why, right. Alex? Why are you doing this?
You know, it actually is coincidental that I'm wearing this.
Explain
what universe you would have a reason to walk around with a sweater that says Rebel like five or six times.
Yeah, Rebel, Rebel, Rebel. So I go to this
turn too.
this kind of weird wholesale clothing place on 28th Street between 6th and Broadway called Shaheen. And they sell all kinds of rather interesting clothes. Like a lot of DJs and stuff will go there because they get like kind of wacky stuff in some respects. But like one of the brands that they have is Rebel Minds, and they carry a lot of their clothing from Rebel Minds. And one of the sweaters actually is just printed with the word Rebel over and over and over again. And it's actually really quite a comfy sweater here. So yeah, I'm wearing that today. I took it off before the show because it was so goddamn hot in this office. So I'm putting it on now because I have to peel off in a few minutes. I have a really early flight tomorrow, guys, and I have to see my kids before I go. So I'll hang around for a little bit, but I'm packing it up here.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We're packing it up too, I think. Do we have a phone call, Kyle?
Yes.
Okay, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, hello. Well, first I want to spend a couple of words on Rebel. I think that whoever was parroting him was doing it in the irreverent spirit of OTH. Not to say that I condone this. I think you're right to ban him. And not because I have personal antipathy, simply because what he says is very self-referential, and very rarely does he add anything to the show. So just dovetailing with what the last speaker said, this is about innovation, it's about stimulating things, about things that need to be discussed. On to bags do travel solo. It happened to me. I don't remember because it was after September 11th, and I was at JFK. I was going to Europe. I had checked my bag, and the airline probably oversold, told me at the gate that I couldn't get on. And I said, okay. And they would rebook me for the day after. I said, okay, I'll take my bag. And they said, no, the bag is already being checked. It's been secured. You'll pick it up at your destination. So I was very surprised, and I should have made a huge stink. Mm. But this happened to me personally, so I know firsthand.
Well, you know, the conditions might be a little different because they rebooked you. They're in control of the situation. If you're in control of the situation, though, and you don't show up and your bag did, I think they might take that a little bit more seriously. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding, is that bags aren't supposed to go without the person who's attached to them.
Well, their ground was that it had been screened, it had been declared secure. Mm-hmm. So it would have been the same identical situation whether I was there or not, by on these grounds, which to me are preposterous because I am with you. And this is what they taught us in terms of security practices. That's what they tell us. Mm-hmm. But I, as I said, I had this happen to me personally, and I wanted to brush my teeth that night, so I couldn't.
Right.
That the other thing I wanted to say, and this is the last one on the list, for our legal expert there, it's not the first time I spar with you, Alex, does it say we the people or we the states? And one of the first parameters of the Constitution, which is in the initial phrase, is to get a more perfect union. So we know perfectly well that when the Declaration of Independence, which is the founding document of this wobbly state that we all love somehow, was made, that's what it said, we the people. Then the Constitution was passed, and amongst many other things, it said that only 3/5 of a man is what a slave counted, and only for population counting, which meant representation in the lower chamber. That's what it said in 1787. There had to be a war. There had to be almost a century of sanctioned slavery for it to be changed. And there has been a continuous progress. So I don't see it as if, you know, there have been many, many, many hypocrisies and, quite frankly, bullshit to maintain control by the elite, whatever the elite was at that particular moment. But I think that the time that we're going through speaks for itself. And although I do know that Alex was just repeating rota, legal arguments that are taught in law school, well, I think the root needs to be analyzed. And again, it's we the people, not we the state. I will hang up and listen to your answers. And thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for the call. And Alex, explain yourself. Explain our system.
I guess
you're responsible for it.
You know, I love this caller, and I like to spar with him, but in this particular instance, I don't disagree with him, and he's right. The preamble to the Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, et cetera, et cetera. But sure, it is we the people. We're supposed to have democracy here that's responsive to the people. We have elected representatives that are supposed to encapsulate our interests within Congress, within the state legislatures, et cetera. But we don't necessarily have direct democracy, though, right? I mean, the people don't directly vote for what it is they want. We elect representatives to do that work for us. In certain parts of Vermont, what I always found it really interesting is, you know, when I lived up there, there was like a state holiday called Town Hall Day. And all these little towns in Vermont, people would literally go to the town hall and there was no representative there. It was direct democracy. It was an example of the people going and discussing the issues and proposing to do something and then voting on it. And the majority of the population was all there voting and participating directly in democratic processes. And it's something that in Vermont is still taking incredibly seriously. And it's a really cool thing to watch and to be a part of.
Yeah.
Is direct democracy as well. So there's all different types of democracy, all different forms of it. It's not perfect. And I tend to agree with Emmanuel here that, you know, we do need some kind of reboot. If you were listening last week, this was like the germ of my next article for 2600 was about the nature of democracy as being this kind of the system that is has a lot of uptime, but may have a tremendous amount of vulnerabilities inherent to it that need to be patched, and maybe we need to.
It's kind of weird how I brought it up, but somehow it wound up being your column.
Exactly. I was already writing it, and you brought it up. I mean, I guess it's just kind of the zeitgeist at the moment, right?
Uh-huh,
like
uh-huh.
People are thinking it was very strange, almost as if you might have been accessing my files.
Or like you're accessing my thoughts.
It's in the consciousness. It's in the consciousness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, one more thing, yeah. Alex, that I'm going to hold you accountable for is this phrase, a more perfect union. Now, I don't know much about perfection, but I do know that you can't be more perfect. You're either perfect or you're not. So what do you mean a more perfect union? What the hell?
Well, because there was some form of government before the Constitution where there was the Articles of Confederation, right? But they weren't great.
No.
And it's union capitalized. So it's in order to form a more perfect union, you know, as in like a defined term as being.
But there's no more perfect or less perfect. It's perfect. Perfect is the goal. You're done if you're perfect.
Well, I think the implication there is a more I see what you're saying. Yeah. But a more perfect union or a more closer to perfect union.
Better union, a nicer union, you know, a cooler union.
It's that it will never be perfect.
No, it'll never be perfect.
Well, I mean, they had to go with the words that they had at the time.
They thought they were perfect, and not only were they perfect, they could be more perfect. I mean, who are these people?
More perfecter?
I understand the Founding Fathers less and less with every passing day.
There you have it.
We have a phone call. Good evening. Wait, are you leaving?
Safe travels. Yeah.
I gotta go. I gotta go. Brave.
At least say hello to our next caller and then leave. If you can do that. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh
no. Listen, we can't possibly do all the dancing we did last week again because we're still recovering from
good.
That.
So, good.
Yeah, that's
good.
I mean, I like this. It sounds like a Kraftwerk type
good.
Theme.
Good.
To it.
Good.
I like this.
Yes. Yes. If you'd like to talk to us, please, we're going to turn you down for a little bit, and then we'll turn you back up again. And if you're still doing that, we're going to move on. But we do want to talk to people. It's kind of a nice thing we do sometimes.
Well, I'll say goodnight to everybody. Have a good night.
Have safe,
night, Alex.
Good night, Alex.
Safe travel.
Travel safely.
Yeah. And talk to you all next week.
Not travel on flights you need to be on, you know.
I'll try. Yeah, there's a direct flight, so no skip lagging.
Skip lagging is bad. Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Copyright infringement as well.
Think of those poor airlines trying to make a living.
All right. Good night, all.
All right.
Good night.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Well, I guess that's a version of the last call, too. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
This is Johnny Fusion.
Johnny Fusion. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I believe you mean Hacker Spiritual Johnny Fusion.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Say it properly. Yeah.
I already forgot my self-given title.
So what's going on? What's happening?
Well, I got the new issue of the magazine.
Ah, yes.
And for the first time, someone actually wrote a letter about one of my articles.
That'll happen. That does happen. People do read and comment.
And but the response to the letter, I think his name was David Libertas, something Libertas,
mm-hmm.
and he was very, very upset that I characterized President Trump as an authoritarian.
Well, a lot of people do get upset when you say things like that. That's why it's important to say things like that.
Yeah, and then what I really liked about that letter column was the long reply from the editor. I don't know if you wrote it or someone else wrote it, basically laying out all the ways that Trump is an authoritarian while saying not speaking for the author, which would be me.
That's not very hard to do. That's not very hard to point out all the ways he's an authoritarian. It's just basically, you know, watch the news and you'll see.
Right. And the funny thing is the magazine got to in my hands the night before he bombed Venezuela.
Yeah, so I guess that didn't get included.
No, that didn't get included, but, I mean, it's right there for anyone who was reading that letter column along with me. But I just wanted to express my gratitude for consistently publishing me and that long response.
Well, we stand up for our writers, you know? We fight for you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much, but you know, it's really kind of a conservative running into the point and, you know, and still missing it when he said, well, if Trump's an authoritarian, then all these other presidents were authoritarians. And I'm like, of the opinion, yeah, you're probably right. You know, we pride ourselves on being, you know, a free country.
Mm-hmm.
Based on liberty, but really that liberty has always been very narrow for who can enjoy it. Mostly white, Protestant, straight men
mm-hmm.
get all the benefits. And anyone else with any kind of marginalization kind of struggles and eventually gets more and more civil rights, but now, you know, fascism to the point where it's affecting everybody and everybody can see it. It's so obvious, but this is what people of color and other minorities have gone through the entire history of European contact on this continent.
Well, it's a false narrative that conservatives like to push. For instance, racism is over. It's solved. Therefore, you don't need Martin Luther King Day anymore. And, you know, that's what Trump is doing, not even acknowledging for most of the day. And you know, taking away silly things like free entry to public park, the national parks on that holiday, a bona fide holiday. And if he had his way, he'd take away the holiday completely. But the justification is that we don't need it anymore. You know, it doesn't take much imagination to realize that he really just resents the fact that there's this acknowledgement in the first place. And it's no different than the people of the past that basically were the problem in the first place. This is them rising up again and bringing the same problems back. And we have to recognize that. We have to realize that. You know, I keep hearing the phrase that for the first time, I don't have to apologize for being white. When have any of us ever had to apologize for being white? You know, not once in my life has that ever been an issue. And people have been remarkably welcoming and open, considering how they could be if they judged me based on the color of my skin. But I don't have that happen to me like other people have that happen to them. And it, you know, for people not to be able to see that, it's got to be intentional to be that blind to the reality. But this is the kind of thing they do. They come up with these narratives that people latch on to, and they almost sound believable until you start analyzing it and you know, throwing in a bit of history and maybe some of their own track records as well. And then you get the truth pretty fast.
Yeah, when it comes to Trump and Martin Luther King Day, I'm not surprised when a racist participates in racism. I mean, this is expected behavior, really, that he's going to be a racist. Mm-hmm. So it's not shocking to me. It's just like, it's more like, oh, yeah, that figures. You know, that's on brand. But, you know, whiteness was created to establish a racial hierarchy with white people at the top. I mean, that's the only reason why it exists. And no one has had to apologize for being white in the history of it, because we've always made sure we were the ones in charge, and all white people benefit from white supremacy, whether we want to participate in it or not. We get that privilege by the color of our skin and participating in whiteness.
Well, I find it incredible that the people who have been victims throughout the course of the history of this country, they're not more angry at people who, you know, are represented by that unfairness, you know, by white people. You know, I don't know if I could be as composed if I saw this unfairness that I was the victim of constantly, that my family was a victim of, you know. So what I'm saying is, I haven't ever had to apologize for being white. And I'm a little surprised that I've never had to, but that speaks to who people are, people with integrity, people without integrity. You know, it's not an individual thing.
Well, here's the thing. This is another privilege of being a white person, is that no matter what we do, we're seen as an individual and not a representation of all white people.
Right.
And people belong to different marginalized identities and minorities don't have that privilege. You know, if one person of color does something outlandish, white people will hold the entire race accountable for the actions of one person. They're not given the same opportunity to be a good or bad individual, but they're all representing their entire group.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think I'll get off the line. It's about that time.
Yes.
I actually have two articles in the hopper that I'm working on, going back and forth on. One's taking a lot more research, and I'm having yet another AI take.
Fantastic. Yes. Thank you. We look forward to that.
Yes.
And I'm sure our readers do as well, and there will be more discussions to have in the future. Thanks for listening.
Yes,
the AI is a path to ethical AI, where I address the common moral panic and ethical concerns of the current AI models, and how to do something outside of that model that's ethical, that doesn't steal, that isn't a plagiarism machine, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will talk to you again next time.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. And I think that's going to do it for us tonight, because we've just about done an hour. And I think that's enough.
Indeed.
Uh-uh. Sorry. I agree with you. I was commenting... we got a comment that was hidden, and I am going to continue hiding it.
Okay. That's very mysterious, but we'll leave it at that. And we're not taking another call. Want to take this one last call?
Yeah, sure. All right. What the hell?
Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
Okay. Few remarks based on what people said. I mean, people said basically the right thing in a lot of cases. Trump did get inaugurated on Martin Luther King's Day last year, and he paid lip service to it.
Mm-hmm.
He did acknowledge it. He said it was a good thing or something like that. I don't know the exact intent.
And he acknowledged it this year, too, but only after most of the day was over and a lot of people were clamoring for him to do that. So it didn't seem very sincere.
Right. Something more perfect than perfection is plute perfect.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Something more perfect than perfection is pluperfect.
Oh, pluperfect. Yeah, you know, I've heard that word.
Yeah, it has to do with grammar.
Okay. Pluperfect.
And I think that you were talking about the Macintosh being locked down. It's actually more the iPhone and iPad that's locked down.
Okay.
In terms of what you can do with it. So I think that the iSpock or whatever app was for the iPhone, not for the Mac.
You're right, yes. I tend to use those terms interchangeably, and that's not correct.
Right. Okay, I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. And that's going to do it for us. If you have any comments for us, oth@2600.com is our email address. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And any final words from out in Signal Land?
Sorry about the buzzer at our house.
Yeah,
and
you could get a less harsh sounding buzzer. You know, that wakes the dead, that thing.
I would love to get a less harsh buzzer. I wish we were in charge of that.
My grandparents had a buzzer like that, and it was like it would your spine would just, you know, it would resonate throughout the entire house whenever somebody rang that bell. Everything else was so comforting and welcoming. You should fix the squeak too on the door, but that sound just it would wake the dead. It really would.
I actually did sleep through it once, which was okay. We just did get one comment. I challenge OTH and Overtime to go 1 week without mentioning Trump. We can't.
Nope.
Hey, I know a good way we can do that. Get rid of Trump. We'll stop talking about him. All right? Seriously. He keeps screwing things up. I mean, this week alone, for God's sake, he's threatening NATO, threatening allies. And you know, we had somebody murdered the week before that he was celebrating, you know, and God forbid you say anything about Charlie Kirk. Give me a break. Yeah, we're going to talk about it because it's happening, because there's a shitstorm out there and, you know, somebody has to stand up to it. Otherwise, we're just giving everything up. And I don't think we're going to do that. Rob?
Yeah, some show we would be if we like flat out ignored one of the most destructive forces active in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
Especially yeah. One who wants to crack down on so many of the things that we hold dear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not doing it because we think it's fun.
Well, and it's also occurring with a background of a whole lot of other technological and commercial forces, and the whole environment, the whole information, like networked environment, is itself kind of precarious and in a perilous state. And I think everyone, there's a information sharing, there's a lot of things to be learned and said to one another in the midst of all of that, and just like trying to make sense of it and understand how to move forward, how to act in that kind of environment is crucial, you know, sharing information, getting alerts.
Yeah.
However intrusive, or, you know, how much they mean business, you know, shout out to alerts. Stay alert.
The world needs more alerts.
Well, I guess that's a good note to end on. We will see you next week. Next week there is not going to be an overtime, because next week is the call-in show on WBAI. And again, we ask that people who call into Overtime don't call that show. That way it gives people who listen to the radio a chance to call in. And if you did call in this week, please don't call in next week, because there's so many other people out there and we want to hear from them as well. We'll be back during Overtime in 2 weeks. All clear? Everyone knows? Okay. We'll see you next week on BAI.
Bye, YouTube.
Bye.
Good night.